From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
On today's program, Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, commences his next message in this series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, that passage often called Faith's Hall of Fame. The text is verses 20 through 22, verses which speak of the faith of three outstanding Old Testament saints, Jacob, Isaac, and Joseph. Essentially, the passage records three death scenes, and they reveal the expectancy and confidence with which these men faced eternity. The message is called A Faith That Brightens Even the Grave, and Dr. Cairns will focus on three thoughts embodied in these verses: faith, family, and future. Dr. Cairns preached this message a number of years ago on the Sunday which preceded Thanksgiving Day. Yet, as he will explain, there are many elements of the text which are appropriate to that season. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of this message. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning. Our text this morning is found in Psalm 107 and verse 7. He led them forth by the right way. Changeful experience often leads the anxious believer to inquire, Why is it thus with me? I looked for light, but lo, darkness came, for peace, but behold, trouble. I said in my heart, My mountain standeth firm, I shall never be moved. Lord, thou dost hide thy face, and I am troubled. It was but yesterday that I could read my title clear. Today my evidences are bedimmed, and my hopes are clouded. Yesterday I could climb to Pisgah's top and view the landscape over and rejoice with confidence in my future inheritance. Today my spirit has no hopes, but many fears, no joys, but much distress. Is this part of God's plan with me? Can this be the way in which God would bring me to heaven? Yes, it is even so. The eclipse of your faith, the darkness of your mind, the fainting of your hope, all these things are but parts of God's method of making you ripe for the great inheritance upon which you soon shall enter. These trials are for the testing and strengthening of your faith. They are waves which wash you further upon the rock. They are winds which waft your ship the more swiftly towards the desired haven. According to David's words, so it might be said of you, so he bringeth them to their desired haven. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and by good report, by plenty and by poverty, by joy and by distress, by persecution and by peace, by all these things is the life of your soul maintained, and by each of these are you helped on your way. O, think not, believer, that your sorrows are out of God's plan. They are necessary parts of it. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. Learn, then, even to count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. O, let my trembling soul be still, and wait thy wise, thy holy will. I cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, yet all is well, since ruled by thee.
Tears are mending flow, and
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Reading in Hebrews 11, verse 20 to 22. We're reading only the text because the background passages are found in Genesis 27, 28, and 48. But we'll read just the words of the text. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. The three verses of our text introduce us to three death scenes. At least two actual death scenes, Jacob's and Joseph's, and one that was thought to be a death scene, because when Isaac blessed his sons, he did so fully believing that he was very near to death, though in actual fact, he lived for some time after that. Commenting on the 37th Psalm and the 37th verse, "Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, because the end of that man is peace." Commenting in that verse, C.H. Spurgeon said, "With believers, it may rain in the morning, thunder at midday, pour forth torrents in the afternoon, but it must clear up ere the sun go down. The end of that man is peace." It must clear up before the sun go down. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph had all lived eventful lives. Isaac, if you remember from Genesis 22, had to be plucked, as it were, by the hand of God right off the altar of sacrifice when he lay exposed to the blade of his father's dagger. So from the very portals of death, he was delivered by the intervention of God and the provision of the Lamb of God's own choosing. Not only so, but if you read on in the book of Genesis, the 26th chapter, you find that this man Isaac, though by nature a contemplative sort of person, a quiet individual, a man of studious, prayerful habits, not the man of action that you find in many of his descendants, notwithstanding that, Isaac had to battle for the very right to live in the harsh, nomadic environment in which God had called him to serve. So Isaac had indeed an eventful life. Jacob had fled home in fear of his life from his brother's vengeance. It served for 20 years in Paddan Aram, as Laban had twisted and turned and schemed and connived and robbed and done all that he could to bring to naught the blessing of God in the life of Jacob. Jacob had spent those 20 years far from home. Finally, when he had got home, he had to take, as he himself said, he had to take the land that God promised him out of the hand of the Amorite with his sword and with his bow. He fought hard for a foothold in the land of Canaan. And of course, he shed many bitter tears because of Rachel, her sudden death, and because of Joseph and his apparent slaughter by some wild animal. Joseph, far from being killed by an animal, had been betrayed by his brothers. He'd been sold as a slave. He had been slandered by the wife of Potiphar because she was an immoral woman and he was moral. He had been imprisoned unjustly. And though he had shown himself kind and the messenger of God to those in prison, he found himself forgotten for two long years, while the butler of Pharaoh overlooked the kindness. But in every case, though it rained in the morning, thundered at midday, and poured forth torrents in the afternoon, in every case, these men found that it cleared up before the sun went down. Isaac died in peace as an old man, full of days, with the assurance of God's saving covenant in his family, and that the messianic line would be continued through his children. Jacob's tears for Joseph were turned into joy as he found him not only alive, but the ruler of Egypt and the deliverer of his people. And it was his blessing not only to see Joseph again, but to see Joseph's sons. He said, I hadn't thought to see you, but now I see your sons, and gave them a place among the heads of the tribes of Israel. And then Joseph, the psalmist tells us that the word of the Lord tried him. That's a very succinct way of putting years of deep agony of soul. The word of the Lord tried him. We would say his brethren tried him. We would say that the Ishmaelites tried him. That Potiphar tried him. That Potiphar's wife tried him even more. That the jailer tried him. That the butler tried him. All these people tried him. We would say that, and quite rightly after a fashion. We tend, however, to look in the outward appearance. We tend to look at the source of our trials as being merely human. We can sometimes go beyond that and see the hand of the devil trying us and giving us every rough passage in life. Sometimes it's true that the devil does enter in to try us. But whether it's from men or from devils, we do well to remember that God is sovereign, that God is on the throne, and that nothing happens outside of his will. And the word of the Lord tried him. The greatest trial he had was from the promise of God. But he came forth from that trial as pure gold to prove the faithfulness of God and to see his promises wonderfully fulfilled. If you look at the text, you'll find that just when the natural expectation would have been for these three men to enter into the deepest darkness and to be enveloped by those awful shadows of the last enemy, they actually had light from the Lord. Zechariah the prophet in the 14th chapter gives a wonderful prophetic promise, but it's always devotionally true of the people of God. He said, at evening time, it shall be light. At evening time, it shall be light. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph all proved that. And so instead of sinking into hopelessness and despair at the hour of their death, each of these three men acted by faith in the hour of death. Now that's easy to read. But let me tell you, it takes real grace for that. This is not a text that talks about the superior character of these people. When people are dying, they're usually physically weak and exhausted. They're usually mentally exhausted. And while faith may be strong within their hearts, it is very difficult for them to carry on much communication. That's the usual way to die. I've had people with very, very unreal expectations. I've had young people come to me and say, it must be wonderful to visit saints when they're dying in agony of cancer and see the glorious joy of God in their face and the victory in their voice. That is unreal. There is joy. There is victory. There is peace. I have talked with people in the point of death and they have found the peace of God. But I think perhaps the best example I ever had was a young man I knew in Belfast. Without comparing him to anybody else, I would say he had, by nature, untrained, untouched by the hand of man, I think. But he had, by nature, one of the sweetest, loveliest singing voices I have ever known. And behind that singing voice, there was a soul that knew and loved and served the Savior. Just over 30 years of age, he was smitten with cancer. The last place he sang was in my church in Ballymoney. And while the singing was not what we knew Roy was capable of, in many ways, it was the best song he ever sang. Because though he knew he was dying, he was yet singing. But I remember going to visit him in a hospital room, a man of about 6 feet two or 6 feet three in height, a man who would have weighed in at 215 pounds normally. Now, if he weighed 60 pounds, it was all, probably even less. Just a skeleton with one film of thin skin pulled over the head. The great forearms no thicker than two fingers. And the very weight of a cotton sheet causing agony to every part of his body. And I went in, and for the last time, Roy gathered his strength. He said, "I want you to know, I still believe. I'm still rejoicing in the Lord. I'm still sure of Christ. But I'm in such agony. I can't talk. Please pray, and then we part." And we prayed, and we parted never to meet again this side of heaven. That's the reality. And yet we read here of men who in the hour of their death actually gathered their family and blessed them in the name of the Lord. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of his bones to the children of Israel. And by faith, I should have put them in their chronological order, but by faith, Jacob blessed Joseph's sons. I want us to think this morning upon a faith that brightens even the grave. I said there were some things here that would be good at any time, but certainly are very, very apt at a Thanksgiving time. When you look at these three men and these three verses of Scripture and think of their faith that brightens the grave, we think of their faith, of their family, and of their future. Those are the three leading thoughts in the text. And they are obviously three thoughts that are very close to the Thanksgiving season. The idea of faith. America today should not be celebrating technological advance. It should not be celebrating Republican government. It should be celebrating the gift of God. Faith. And uppermost in the minds of Americans today should be family. In the light of faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.